Yo,
we'll do it live.
My life has been covered in formula vomits for 5 months. Just chemically formula vomits. It's awesome.
And if the rest of the day didn't sicken him, this surely will.
He's actually incredibly calm now that he hears me talking. Like when I was just sitting here reading weird BuzzFeed articles about sex cults, he was a little bit anxious. He was like, "Dad, I don't like. I know you know. You think that I can't. Like, I'm not reading this. I don't know what's going on. But energetically, I can feel this is odd, and I don't like it. So at least you talking to your friend. Fine, I'll deal with this. I can learn something from this."
He's like, "No, but the vibe I'm getting, like, I don't know if it's I don't know if it's the site or the pop-ups or." Or you and your facial gestures, but I don't like it.
It's not the best. I've been here 5 months. This is a low point.
Do you read this when mom's here? Because
yes, of course. I don't. What I don't do is talk to my wife ever. So yeah.
He's like, "Well, I'm holding down this whole household thing. Y'all gonna pay attention to me, but not each other. Got you."
Yeah. Yeah, it's awesome. Welcome to the Neil Riggers Podcast.
Welcome to the podcast. This is episode 3. We're so happy to have you back. We noticed that a few more people listened to the last episode. We're not sure why, but thank you.
I didn't notice this because I don't know how to like look at any of this. And two, that makes sense to me because I feel like the energy of the last one was pretty good. I'm going to forewarn you right now. My energy is not popping right now. The last two days would have been great. Like I would have been totally up for it, but it just like time didn't work out. And now I've figured out the time, but I'm just feeling off if I'm keeping it 100.
Yeah. I mean, it's a good thing because I'm in a similar space. And I was hoping, like, oh man, I'm relieved. I'm calling the funny one of us.
Because... Right? No, my friend.
because I have literally no energy for this shit. Yeah, it's all good because I feel like the slate of topics is so popping that
yeah,
we'll be able to get our perspective on these crazy topics.
Right. That's why I don't want to do these topics at this service because it's been a wild week, man. So
yeah.
Like, what is going on, bro?
Yeah. No, this is like open my door, shoot me in the face. That's news. So the one thing I wanted to
Yep, that's baby.
Yeah, that's a little that baby
is...
sneeze.
Let's just like address it this time very clearly. There is I am the father of a 5-month-old. I don't have a lot of free time. In order to make this happen, there's a baby lying next to me right now. So,
yes.
You know, it is what it is.
And you know what? Your baby's going to be hearing cool terms like Pornhub and custody battle.
Just get him warmed up.
In case you wanted to really solidify your marriage tonight, this will do it.
Listen, he's going to need to be prepared for these topics relatively soon, sooner than most children. So,
it's like, listen, we're looking out for you, buddy. We're showing you what the real world is like.
Yeah.
I'll jump in with the topics because there were some great ones. We covered Nicki and Cardi. In episode 1, and we mainly talked about how Nicki's like kind of changing and become this real crab and like super obnoxious, but as you may have heard via Twitter, they got into an altercation at New York Fashion Week. I don't know if it's quite an altercation as much as Cardi B throwing her shoe.
It was Cardi being Cardi and Nicki not being who she claims to be.
Yeah, exactly. And I think if anything, like the court of public opinion continues to sway in Cardi's favor, even though that particular conflict doesn't look the best. You know what I mean? It's not like she she didn't like mollywop Nikki or even really get in any good blows. You know, it wasn't like UFC 289 out there. You know, it was like I got as close as I could with your wall of security goons, and I threw my shoe as hard as I can, and I told you, bitch, come here.
But here's the thing. Cardi was the same person. Like, I could see you could change so many things about the monetary terms of where they are, and Cardi was the exact same person. If she caught Nikki like that at Key Food, if they was both shopping at Key Food, Cardi did the exact same thing. If this was a strip club, was a strip club, Cardi did the exact thing. If they were in the projects, Cardi did the same exact thing. So right. New York Fashion Week, I don't care. She's like, yeah, oh, okay, cool, all this, and then Balenciagas and all that. Yo, if I see you, it's on.
Yeah, it's on.
If I see you, it don't even got to be pretty. It don't got to be like always, like I DDT'd you. Nah, I'm throwing shoes. I don't like you. I don't like you. You want to talk about, yo, I got two kids. Yo, you want to talk slick about my children? I don't care. I don't care how I look, bro.
Yeah. No,
I don't care how I look. Come see me.
It's again one of those moments where it's so relatable too, because it's like I do like a live stream on Facebook, and it's like kind of like a show. So I kind of have another show. I don't know what I'm doing. This is my version of a midlife crisis. So I did like a stream on it, and I talked about it being kind of like workplace bullying, because like Nikki is a bully, and mm-hmm. she is constantly like going at you in those like weird passive aggressive ways that like that coworker you don't like is going after you. And
right, who's your like immediate supervisor?
Yes, it was your immediate supervisor who has no reason to necessarily hate on you because their bag is secure, but they're just an insecure dick breath. And so they go after you. And I feel like we can all relate. Whereas, like, Nicki Minaj, she's in this very insulated and, like, she's just in, like, a tower on the hill. Like, she went on her Apple Radio podcast. It's called Queen Radio. And she was basically framing it like, can you believe this bitch? Like, do you know where we at? Like, I can't even believe that. Like, we're in front of white people right now. Like, she sounded really corny in terms of, like, trying to appeal to, like, how high up she is. And I'm just like, no. Like, you are the evil queen stepmother villain in this tale right now.
And it's also so corny because then she also played the, yo, like, when you come at a person like me, like, my money is long. You can't come at me, you'll die. Like, hold on. Make a choice here. Make a choice, bro.
Right, exactly.
You can't keep the same energy in a conversation, in one conversation.
Right, right. And I think that often exposes, it's like you were saying, she's such a LaGuardia, like, theater kid. It's like, her and Azalea, like, in theory, should get along so well. Like, they were both in the band. You know what I mean?
Squash my first idea. My first TV idea. We need a show of them two together that's called Stjips.
Stjips.
Just Stjips. Stjips to both of them. Because also then Azalea had the nerve to get on her Instagram and like how she was at. It's like, would you make up your mind about anything? But you know what? Forget it. Like, I'm going to ask that question knowing it's a stupid question because you can't. Because your mind is like in your twat somewhere.
It's a terrible thing you wasted.
It's nuts.
Yeah, I think it's... the weird thing is that Cardi B rushing up on that situation and violently throwing her shoe was like the most understandable, sane character in the entire play.
Like, totally reasonable. It's totally reasonable.
It makes perfect sense given what she's dealing with. And she's like, no, I'm not fucking with you bitches. I'm just going to throw shoes at you. Like, it's not even, it might be a plastic gel shoe next time. Like, I don't give a fuck. And I think that because Nikki has a bigger platform, again, she's taken for granted that people can just as soon not fuck with you.
Yep.
And I hope they don't. I hope that people do stop fucking with it. But I don't want to give people too much credit.
I mean, George Bush had a bigger platform than the guy that threw a shoe at him, but we all agreed with the guy who threw a shoe at him.
Exactly. Exactly. Yo, he definitely had Iraqi press corps, and she had Iraqi press corps energy. She was really, she was running up on the spot. Like, yo, I don't care who you are. Like, it doesn't matter when the shoe is lying at your cheekbone.
The thing about it is, it's so boring. Like, Nikki is convincing herself because of the whirlwind of yes people she has around her that, like, that even, it's like, it's not even just yes people. There's still people who buy her music and all that, even though Travis Scott ate her and all that.
Yep.
She's just so, she's convincing herself that she's interesting, that she's doing something interesting. But from, if you're not already entrenched in her camp, there's nothing interesting about her. She is so boring right now. All of her choices are so boring.
She's had even the most boring publicity stunts. Like, she was, like, rumored to be dating Eminem and Nas within the same year. Like, two guys who, despite being washed now, could be in your top five or top 10 rappers. And it was just like, yawn. It was just like, oh, that's what you're doing? Oh, you're going out with Eminem? Yeah. Like,
mm-hmm. Oh, that would have been cool like 5 years ago.
Yeah, yeah. And not like anyone suspects you both have albums dropping. yeah, it's just getting trite. But you know what I think is the kind of the most startling part for me is that when I look and the stan comments, like the people who stand for her, just like beyond anything, I'm like, wow, it's never gonna end. Like, I can't see these people like waking up to that, the fact that she's whack at any one point, because they're just like with Nicki Minaj in the time capsule, in like the little, she's the mosquito in the amber to them. Like, her in 2006 through 10 is all they need. And that's, yep, they're just gonna, yep, ride. And I'm like, that's all good. Like, I'm not I don't claim to be part of her stan base or whatever, but I realize now that the internet has made it a lot easier for people to be like obsessive.
Mm-hmm. And to be in their own echo chamber.
Yeah. Yeah.
And while thinking they like have a broader sense of it. Like, I can go on Twitter and look at all this information, but it's all curated, and like, it's their algorithms that are showing you what you obviously want to see. Like, if you like the same things over and over again, then it's like, well, yeah, we're going to show you that information. And you'll get a little bit of information outside of that that makes you think that you're seeing other perspectives, but you're not.
Yeah, exactly that. And
all you need to do is log on to somebody else's account to see how different the information you're getting is.
Yeah, that's exactly true. And I'm going to jump into the next topic because it relates.
Can I interrupt one
second? No, yeah, go ahead.
Are we going to talk about Meek and Drake at all?
Oh, if not, man, I forgot think to even include that. But
then we have to throw it up. Because I am a Meek Mill stan. Like, yes. pretty hardcore Meek Mill stan. And I could very easily accept when Drake dropped him on his neck. Like, that's what happened, you know? Like I'm not gonna play myself and act like that's not what happened. And that's the only difference for me. It's like, if you can't see when the person who you, and I still prefer Meek, I always have, I still do. Them not getting along and getting along doesn't change that fundamentally for me. Right. I don't prefer Drake. I think he's dope, but I don't prefer Drake. And I prefer Meek, even though some of his stuff be boring. Like, I just prefer him. But I still can call it what it is. And it's like, it's these blinders where it's like, nope, everything Nicki does is fly. And she was always in the right. It's just so, it's like, oh, man, dog, this. And then we talk about conversations. It's about, let's have the conversation. This is not a conversation, bro.
It can't be. It can't be. And that's what brings me to the events of the weekend. And so the US Open final was on Saturday. The U.S. Open women's final, I should say. The men's final was on Sunday. And it was definitely a practice in me of deciding how much of a stan I am for Serena Williams. Stan I am, and I don't eat green eggs and ham. But yeah, like she, I'll say this. She was losing, right? And I was watching the match. I watched the whole match. My boo, she's a huge Serena Williams fan, and she also plays tennis. So, like, in here, it's like, that's what's going to happen. Stand for Serena, and, like, that's what's going to... And it was helpful to watch because there's two women of color in the final, which was the same case last year. Like, Madison Keys and Sloane Stephens were in the final last year. And this year it was Naomi Osaka and Serena Williams. And Naomi Osaka is Japanese and Haitian. But, like, here's the kind of, like, heritage she come from. Her dad is a Haitian military vet who met her mom in Japan. And I don't know if you saw the picture on Twitter of her mom.
Oh, with Fubu and North Face?
Yeah, with the Fubu hat.
So she's that Japanese.
Exactly.
She's that Japanese. Like, come on, let's not, like, I'll go ahead and go out of the limb and be racist here. I know that kind of Japanese.
She went to hip hop shows as a youth. Let's just say that. Mm-hmm. Like, she was in the hip hop shows as a youth. And I think the great part about having two champs, or, like, you know, two champion level players who are women of color, is that it's tennis, and I fucking hate tennis. Like, not that it's a bad sport. It's not. It's not even a bad sport. It's just that the things that come with tennis are like the things that come with golf.
Yeah.
It's just like these stuffy country club. Like, we're reserving the sport for us because if not, we wouldn't get to play sports.
Right.
Like, we wouldn't get picked for teams, and like, but it's okay because we'll just buy your sport. And with that being the context, it was dope to see, like, okay, like, these are people whose background isn't just country club. Like, they're here because they're better than everyone else. And so this umpire basically, like, called a series of violations on Serena Williams, and she flipped out and was like, yo, you're stealing points from me. Which I would say, if you watch any passionate athlete in any sport, they get passionate with the referees and umpires. Like, that's par for the course. Like, as far as I can tell, it's par for the course.
I mean baseball coaches kick dirt at umpires.
I mean, hockey players stab each other. Like, they like to cut each other's throats. So I'm, and obviously, like, it's different decorum in every sport, right? Like, tennis is trying to be something that's proper, and so that with that comes all these expectations of why you should do things or not do things. Anyway, Serena gets pissed off because this guy's basically penalizing her for random shit, and then as it escalates, he penalizes her again, and then he penalizes her an entire game in a set, which was unprecedented.
I've never heard of that.
I've never seen it happen, and it was just like, Osaka was playing such a good game, and she would and could have won without that happening, but it was like the ump centered himself. And so it was like, now we'll never know. Now we'll never actually know, because Serena had some momentum. Then all these violations happened, and the ump made that call. And the fans were groaning, because obviously Serena's the draw, right? Like, she's the big ticket player who everyone's there for. And as this thing unfolded, it was like, now I'm watching Joey Crawford in the NBA Finals. Like, why is some dude, like, stomping down the sideline, making this about this person? It's like, the one rule in sports I think we can all agree on is that no one should know what a referee's name is.
That's totally true.
Like, no one should know what a referee or umpire is. Like, their job, they're like stagehands in a theater production. Like, that they should wear all black. Like, they're meant to not be seen and not be heard. And it's a tough job.
I'm not gonna buy your jersey.
Like, Yeah, exactly. I'm not looking for Bill Kennedy jerseys when I go to the NBA store. And there's a reason. It's like, this is a tough job. It's thankless. It definitely involves the kind of subjectivity that people are going to scrutinize constantly. And you, for whatever reason, decided to take that job. It's like, it's the same reason people are cops. Like, I don't understand why you're a cop. No. But obviously, you have a personality that's like, you know what? These rules, we've got to make sure that the rules are the rules.
And if
like,
somebody breaks it, I might have to shoot them.
If somebody breaks it, I might have to ruin their family's life. And so,
you don't have a license for those cigarettes, sir.
Oh man, it's like, would you like to get stopped in your car today or die? Because I can do both.
We can make both happen. In fact, we will. If the first happens, the second is.
So yeah, I mean, I don't pretend to understand the personality type of someone who is specifically down for the rules and wants to enforce them, but I know in sports, on a major stage where people are paying to see the athlete, I don't want to hear from that person. Like, I want to know that the rules are being enforced in some way, because that's part of any sport or any game, but I don't want to hear or see anything from that person. And somehow, some way, this dude made himself the absolute center of one of the biggest tennis championships. And of course, Serena, because she's coming back from childbirth, is the biggest story.
Almost dying in childbirth.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Being on the brink of death, to come back to not like a semifinal. We're not talking about like, oh, she's coming back. She's like, she lost Wimbledon and was like the second best in that tournament. And now she's lost the US Open, is the second best in that. So it's not like she's making like some gradual climb back. She's like immediately in the finals on some GOAT shit.
No, I'm about to take my spot back. Okay, I'm here.
Yeah. And she's all about, and the thing about the Naomi is like, she's Golden State Warriors level. She's dope. Like, she's really, really good. And she was playing the game of her life, and she was playing the tournament well too. And it was like, because that moment was so unpleasant to the crowd was booing even when Naomi won. And it was clear to anyone who watched, the crowd wasn't booing Naomi Osaka. They were booing this official who had basically robbed them of seeing a fair game, because he took an entire game penalty from Serena Williams in a pivotal part of the set. So I, of course, because I have like a healthy relationship to social media, I went on Twitter and Facebook and was, you know, getting into arguments with people I don't know. I feel like that's like, if you know me, if you know anything about me in the last year or two, is that like, that is something I deem to be a really good, valuable use of my time, is finding people who disagree with me and making sure they know I'm right.
And also making sure that their avi is a picture of something nondescript.
It's like, it's usually like an American eagle. It's like an American bald eagle with a pair of Ray-Ban sunglasses on.
And an armband, a Guy Fieri armband. Oh, and wearing a bowl, an American eagle and a bowling shirt.
Oh man, American eagle, Ed Hardy jeans.
Oh bro.
Yeah. Oh man. And so, you know, I find every white woman in Birkenstocks and every like National Review writer that I can, and I just start arguing with all of my heart. And the thing that was so common, the common thing about the trolls that I was realizing yesterday, which kind of irked me, but then it made sense too, is like, how come the only time a troll is speaking about objectivity is in defense of the status quo,
right?
Like, they never come on some, like, fairness. Well, like, well, if we step back and look at this fairly, and, you know, Sabrina, she really lost her head. And so if we're being neutral, it's not about race. It's not about gender. You know, if we're just stepping back from this, you know, we don't put politics into everything, then we just, like, you know, we can't watch Champ lose her head like that. And it's like, yeah, but you know what I never hear you talking about is anyone but fucking black people when they lose their head.
Yep.
Like, it's only in defense of the status quo that people start talking about, like,
well, we need to hear both sides of the story. And you know, if I were the ump, I would feel very disrespected.
And it's like, that's the only time we hear even sports fans defending umpires. Like, shit like that.
I mean, it's like, here's the thing. He made it about it's fundamental. He made it about him, man. That's what people are disappointed by. We don't want the referee to make it about him. I don't care if he felt disrespected. I don't. That means nothing to me.
You know who's the one person whose job it is?
I don't care about his humanity, because I don't want it to affect the sport. How he feels doesn't mean anything to me immediately about the sport. Let's talk about it afterwards. Let's talk about, exactly. You know, and figure out if there's some penalty. Cool, all that. But I've seen, especially with Serena, we know how momentum works with her. We've seen her be at the brink of a loss and just go, nah, and just win. And you took that. You made it so that we don't know if she was going to do that or not. We don't. It doesn't matter. Naomi played a great game, and we don't know. It doesn't. You took the wind out of it. You took the wind out of the sails because of how you felt. Come on, man. Acting as if if it's confusing why that would be, you know, whatever. I don't care how Serena Williams acted. Did she hit him? Did she assault him, or did she just say things?
She said things. She broke her racket, which is a penalty, and she got assessed that penalty. And if we're talking about that being a violation of the rules, all right, cool. Like, people who break their rackets get a
penalty.
Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they break their racket and they don't get a violation, as Andy Roddick and other male tennis stars pointed out. Like, hey, this is not something that's so universally applied as a rule or a violation that we can that the people hopping to her to the defense of the umpire make any sense. Like, and I think that's another thing, is like, now I start to hear from everybody's a tennis fan. Like, everyone's a tennis fan. Everybody knows how being an umpire works, and like one defend umpires now when it's Serena. And so I'm like, all right, that is what makes me realize that, you know, just like my biases are embedded, your biases are embedded too. And that, so I'm going to try to have a productive day by arguing as much as I can with you. I know Anoa feels me.
Yeah, I mean, but then have the bottle, bro. If you're upset, then have the bottle that I'm giving you. But then when I put the bottle in your mouth and you don't drink it, I don't understand what's going on. There we go. Like, great.
He's like, oh, you really think it's about this? It's about you paying the fuck attention to me, Dad.
I was like, I can't do that 24/7, my man.
He's like, oh, can't. He's like, oh, you think this bottle is my parent? Got it.
If I have to pay attention to you 24/7, some of that attention is going to be me shaking you.
Right, right.
That's just not how it works, man. I got to be able to turn. I got to be able to do some other stuff, my dude. Anyway,
no, so
Have you seen the Mark Knight cartoon?
Yes, I saw that fucking bullshit racist Sambo fucking piece of Aussie garbage, because he's a garbage pail of a person
that he tried to defend.
And now he's off Twitter.
And then casually he's like, oh, okay.
Oh, I don't want the smoke. I'm not here for the smoke, actually.
Yeah,
I didn't realize a whole population
want Black American smoke, bro. You Black American Twitter smoke. Like, they keep on that. And what I'm not going to pronounce her name right. Jamela, is it Lemieux?
Yeah, Jamela Lemieux, yeah.
All she retweeted about it is like, you're going to regret this. And it's like, yeah, that is accurate. Because it's just that simple. It's like, okay, you want to throw that out there, bro? And put that in the, you want to put that on your Twitter? Okay.
And you know what's great about that is, and how it proves he's such a racist, is that we don't exist in his mind. Like, he didn't even imagine that he would get that kind of response. He thought he could just give that flippant, like, oh, it's nothing to do with race agenda. Like, he thought he could be flippant like that and that nothing would happen, because in his mind, we don't even exist. Like, we don't have the numbers that we have. Like, we don't be on Twitter dominating the conversation. He has no idea of any of that, because his existence is completely free of Black people. So when we come to him, when we come at his doorstep, he has nothing. He has nothing for it, and now he's running off scared with his tail tucked between his legs.
Yeah, if that, and then the whole, the greatest athlete ever is Lionel Messi. It's like, well, it's not Serena. It's like, oh my God, what do we do? Like, why? What is the point of this? Why is he in this conversation? There's no way of comparing them. There is no reasonable way of comparing these two people. So what's the point? Just to devalue the fact that people were expressing her possibly being the greatest?
Like, yeah,
don't insert yourself in the conversation just to devalue that conversation. If we are not going to gain clarity between whether one of them is greater than the other, then just shut up and let people have the conversation they're having.
And also, like, you're not even the greatest cartoonist in your country. Like, you're never great at anything. So don't actually get to weigh in.
You do. No, you do. And then we crush you.
And then we put your monkey ass in perspective.
And we move on, like we will do in this podcast.
Yeah, and move on. And so, to lighter fare, New York, my favorite airport in New York is JFK, because the other one's garbage.
Yeah.
And at JFK last week, a plane was quarantined on the tarmac after landing from Dubai, because 100 out of 500 passengers complained of being ill. So just to ingest that for a moment before I tell you what the hook is here. You know who was on that plane?
Who?
Vanilla Ice.
How have you done this 2 weeks in a row? Just two stories that I just can't understand. I hear the words and my brain goes, what? I'm trying to make sense of this, of these things you're saying, but it's such an odd, like, what were they sick with?
So I don't know if they ever really conclude. First of all, that might be like patient zero. Like, I don't even know what came of the situation. Like, I know the mayor made a statement, and then, like, they could still be there. Like, I don't know. And 100 out of 500 people sick on a plane, to me, sounds like the first episode of The Walking Dead. You know,
like, this is Outbreak. Also, that's not a reasonable. It's like, yeah, I don't know what happened. Oh, we better know. they better still be quarantined. Exactly. I know that. You better not have let any of them out. 100 people, 20% of 500 people got sick. Yeah. We need to know what happened. We need to know what happened. That's not acceptable.
Is it like, are they going to try? Is the CDC going to try to pass this off as like the most aggressive cold in history? Like,
oh God. You know what they're gonna do? Get your flu shots, guys. Exactly. This is a reminder to get your flu shots.
Oh, they're gonna have us thinking that CVS can save us. And the great part about this story is you heard about the Post Malone story a few weeks back, right?
No, I hear nothing of Post Malone. I don't hear anything about him, but I can smell him. I can smell him via Twitter. He smells like 3-week-old vomit.
Oh my God. I can hear his breath. That's what I can hear. And so Post Malone was in a plane that was taking off out of Newark Airport. He was in a private jet, I should say. And like, let's revise history for a moment and talk about why Post Malone is able to fly in a private jet, like, a year into his career. Like, let's talk about why white rappers get to that level of fame. In a moment, we'll get to that. But Post Malone was taking off in his private jet from Newark Airport, and the wheels burst into flames. And the plane crashed on the landing strip, but everyone survived and was fine.
Okay.
Which brings me to my question. Are white rappers the black box of weird plane crashes?
Are white rappers the black... Oh, okay. Yeah. No, they're just privileged to always be flying somewhere, even though they have no reason to be relevant. So they just have a higher likelihood of being involved in things because they're... It's like anything. If you always have a job, you're more likely to get fired than if you're unemployed. Like they're just always there. There's all like for some reason, Vanilla Ice is still being flown to Dubai. Like why is that? Why are people in Dubai giving him money for what?
And you know, it's like some sultan that has been performing for like 9 hours at a Sweet 16, like because Ice Ice Baby is low key a kind of a fire song. Like
Ice Ice Baby is, I still know significant amounts of the words in that song, and I have no shame about that. I just recognize that like. Vanilla Ice has no other songs. I mean, he might, but no, he doesn't. They don't count. They're not things that people would want to have between their ears. So it's like to fly him to. That's how you know fiat currency is a farce. The fact that somebody in Dubai thinks so little of their money as to spend it to. Paid to have Vanilla Ice come all the way across the world to perform essentially one song and fly him back. It's just like this is bullshit. There is no way, there is no value to this. There can be no value to something that can be spent that way.
Basically, the value of Vanilla Ice, as long as there are sex traffickers in Dubai, Vanilla Ice has a career. Like, that's the moral of the story.
Yep.
And the same may be true for Post Malone, come to think of it, because I'm sure after this like era of time that Post Malone will not be relevant. Like his songs sound good in this particular moment, and I can fairly easily guarantee that they will not sound good in a moment 4 or 5 years from now. Like, is that a fair thing to say about Post Malone? Because I'm just like
Totally. I also have one Post Malone question. Does he say I came out with no draws? I still don't know. In my mind, every time I've heard that, Post Malone is on stage without any draws on.
First of all, he probably doesn't even wear clothes, and what you see on him is just dirt. It's like hair and dirt.
It's just like maybe Post Malone just lost a lot of weight and those are just loose tattoos.
Oh man. Here's the thing though, because I want to show respect, rest in peace Mac Miller, who is a dope ass white rapper, and what is the irony of life that Post Malone and Vanilla Ice were on like near fatal plane incidents? And yet we lose Mac Miller.
And of we course, lose right? Mac Miller. Of course. But I mean, of course. You know, it's like
it's the always, thing of actual that's the, value. That's the thing that just reminds you how precious life is that there are walking pieces of garbage on my Twitter timeline all the time. And they're just happy to be living, fighting through any kind of worth that they don't have. And yeah, it's sad because Mac Miller, I'm not going to act like I'm some fucking expert on his catalog. The songs I liked, I found them to be dope. The albums I liked, I found them to be dope. And it stood on its merits. I think he's a good lesson in, just don't assume that when people are in some famed position that they're happy or that they're fulfilled or that they're healthy. But he's also a lesson in like, sometimes like people decide when it's their time. Like, people just decide that shit.
Yo, boy. Self, that song, Self-Care, boy. Man. That song, son. That, and especially that last part. That last part is the one that gets me, man. That last part is like, nah, son. For myself, it seems like, I'm not saying that he went out intentionally. Right. I'm just saying
that's, that and it's good to make that distinction, because some people, I would say his soul and his spirit seemed wise enough to know what purpose he was serving on this planet and in this realm. And maybe he just had that understanding way earlier than a lot of people have that understanding, and he was good with that. Like, that's my theory on it. I can't say, because I think people are quick to be like, you know, you don't know who's in pain and all that stuff. But it's also just like, you just don't know what people's mental take on things and on life is. Like, there are plenty of people who are just like, no, like, I know what my life is. I know why I'm here. I know why I'm doing what I'm doing. And I did it.
Yeah. It's like, so what, like, what does he say? Oh, like, what's like, I just changed my to like, give me, no, I can't because it'll mess it up. But it's just the way he gets to that oblivion is like, nah, it's just so clear to me that he understands that, like, saying to me is, I'm not scared of death. My drug addiction has brought me to the, I've seen it. I've seen that I've teetered on life and death because of my addiction, and I'm okay with it. I'm okay with being there. Now, I don't know if, you know, it always terrifies me, the idea that, like, it's one thing to think that, and then at that moment, is it like when you are really going to lose the ability to change anything? It's like, do you still feel that way? But to me, it doesn't really matter. He captured it so marvelously.
Didn't know what I was missing. Now I see a little different. I was thinking too much, got stuck in oblivion. Oblivion. And I think the great thing about a young person doing that, and Because he was quite young. It's hard to tell by his music, because his music was so developed. But he's essentially saying, like, no, anytime I think I'm not doing, I'm not creating. And that keeps me frozen in this sense of oblivion, this void. And I just moved on from that sense of oblivion. If I'm going to be in the void, I'm going to do it in my way.
And I'll say that, like, there's the challenging part for me was when Mac passed and I was on Twitter, I could just see, like, the amount of different people, like, from totally different walks of life, who were like, yo, he was amazing. He was always amazing to me. That it was touching. That's what made me, because the way I felt about Mac Miller's music was, like, the first things that came to me felt so, like, cute that I was like, I don't, you know, this is not whack, but I don't care. Like, I'm not going to go out of my way to find out about this. But then he kept on his grind. And then there would be things that came through, like, like his songs with Earl Sweatshirt. I was like, okay, some of these I like a lot. Like, I really enjoy this song, to the point where he made Earl go hard by how hard he went. And you know that means if Earl feels like I gotta come with it, that means you really drop something. So those kind of things were made me go, okay. But beyond that, Mac Miller had a TV show on MTV, and I watched every episode of that show. I think it only did one season, but I watched every episode just because I liked it. Like, it wasn't like groundbreaking. It was very much the same as Robin Big was probably MTV going, okay, Robin Big don't get along right now. How do we keep that hand rolling? And But he's likable, man. He was I liked seeing him hang out with his friends. I enjoyed it. So that's why I'm a Mac Miller fan. Honestly, it's not just the music. There were so many things about just his being that gave people an opportunity to enjoy his presence. Like,
I encountered him through career stuff at the big media network, and he was doing, like, when he came through, because, like, artists come through and they do, like, press runs, and they can either do a press run like some of the major, very removed artists do, which is like, I'm only talking to you for 5 minutes. I'm going to give you X question, like one very generic question. Or they come through like Mac Miller did, and it's like, oh, you want to do this cool, like funny skit that's part of like your YouTube channel? Oh, I'm down. Like, oh, you want me to like rate some shit or like judge a contest? I'm down. And he was always down to do shit like that. And so for one of these segments that was for the YouTube channel, he gave like a longer interview after it, and he was basically like talking about like why his stance on women had changed and like what white men needed to be doing to help black women and women of color be more visible. And that was just like, you ain't got to do none of that shit. Like, he didn't have to do any of that part of the press run. Like, he's big enough, has enough of an audience, but it showed that he's humble. And that he would never allow any kind of success to undercut that humility. So that was dope. And then, you know, the message that he was talking about, and this is post the relationship with Ariana Grande, which everyone was trying to blame her on some dumbass shit. But it was post that relationship and him just talking about like, nah, well, actually, like, it shouldn't be about like blaming this person who I was with, because like I am fully responsible for my feelings like anyone else. And then just like giving women a platform through him, which I just think is super rare for male artists to do. And I found that to be like an indicator of, again, his spirit, that his soul was true, and that he didn't really give a fuck about how people might perceive him to be using that power for another group. It's like, nah, like I'm just here like talking about what I think is right. And yeah, I think there needs to be more artists, especially when you have like Eminem out here dropping his like fourth album about beating lesbians down, like whatever Eminem's talking about. It's just like, that's what he uses that platform to do, that and like fart jokes. And Mac Miller is like, no, I could be a wildly successful white rapper who only talks about negativity and myself, or I could be a wildly successful white rapper who kind of reps for everybody and like taking care of yourself and like feeling good and being around your friends. Like, and I just rock with that as an overall sentiment. I rock with Mac Miller for that.
I looked it up and I really found the sentiment that really what touched me about that, the last part of that self-care song, mm-hmm. is because after he says that first part, like, one, if I was Ariana Grande, like I truly do feel pretty poorly for her, because she's been in such a seemingly happy place, and that's a good thing. And I don't think even Mac would have been, you know, I think he could enjoy that on her behalf. But I also think that, like, I mean, okay, I don't think it's far off base to think, to take that, you know, that didn't realize what I was missing part of what he said,
right,
to
right.
not be about her in some way, to not be like, to not have something to do with that. But the fact that he goes on from there and that to go, I got all the time in the world, so for now I'm just chilling. Plus, I know it's a beautiful feeling. Oblivion, yeah. That, like, there's something about that that is so, it's just released its ego. It looks at its ego and it's just like, it's fine. It's fine. I don't need myself. I don't need my body. Like I've had my pain. I'm in pain. Yes, I am in pain. I didn't reckon, because of my pain, I didn't recognize that I was creating more pain for myself. Which is why I'm self-medicating. I'm still, he's not even like trying to say I've figured it out.
Like the first part of the song kind of is like, I'm working on it, and that, but this is the part, this is the heart of that song to me. It's that part is just the, it's just that raw core that's like, you know what? Even if I don't figure it out, it's all right. It's all right. It's all right if I have to shed this life, because oblivion, if I have to go into the oblivion, it's not so bad. I've seen it. I've touched it. It's not the worst. It's not the worst thing that could happen to me. It really ain't.
I mean, that's wisdom.
And that's just like, man, that's that. I was, yeah, man. I'm like, dog. I miss, that made me miss Mac. I'm like, oh man, I waited around while you were here thinking I can get to it. Yeah, I'll listen to it. Yeah. I'm like, man, you was really doing it, man. You was really doing it, and I took it for granted because I can go on iTunes whenever. You know, it's like, but I can't, like, you're gone now. I can't tweet you now that I like it. It doesn't be like, nah, it's all that, and that, you know, that hurts. And I'll just be in my feelings on it for a second. While it's like, how quickly the conversation moved from, you know, how great Mac was to how unfair it was to Ariana hurt my feelings, because it's like, yeah, that's totally true, that we know it's unfair to her. And in a lot of ways, that's what matters more, because she's still here. She is still here dealing with us, blame her and all that.
Yeah.
He's in oblivion. He got to get off the... But it's like, but it did make me feel like, damn, what's up with us that we can't make it about him right now? Like right now, it can't just be about him. It can, or at least his mom. If you want to feel bad for somebody, yo, his mom, son. Like, I have, like, almost nobody talks about his mother. Like, maybe I'm off base with this, but I did watch every episode of his TV show, and there's one episode where he talks to his mom on the phone, and they talk about his name.
Yeah.
And his real name is Malcolm. And from what I remember, he's named after Malcolm X. His white mother named him after Malcolm X.
Wow, I did not know that.
Can we make it about her?
No, because the algorithms.
Feel bad for somebody, yo. It's like, yo, she gonna be all right, probably. You know, and it's not. I'm not disavowing that. You know, coming to her aid, but she gonna be all right, probably. Can we? I just don't know. It's like the so polar. It's so polar. We have to be on one side or the other side. There's no middle, and we spend so little time in the middle. We spend so little time in that unknown where we feel both things. You know what I'm saying? It's like we feel like we have to make this one definite decision. You either have to feel bad for him or her,
right,
or white people or black people, or it's like it just has to, and it's like trying to deal with a world that has as many shades as our world does, that polar way, is just so exhausting, and it's not working. Over and over again, we just leave somebody out. The solution is somebody gets attention, everybody and else is outside.
I agree.
That,
and I
that
think
put me in my feelings.
Because the middle ground doesn't profit anyone is why no big group of people stays in the middle. Because they only profit off the amygdala part of our brain reacting and swinging from one polarity to the next. That's why the middle, it's the least profitable, and therefore no part of our media or our public forum will settle in the middle, because not enough people are making $1 billion off the middle. And it's actually disgusting. Like, it's actually one of the more disgusting things. Like, I saw this came across my timeline. It's probably the most useful thing that came across my timeline today, which is that social media is one of the top five worst inventions of all time. And I'm like, yeah, it's true. It's like I always say, like, we have the internet. We have one of the tools in humanity that could literally be like connecting us and our thoughts in one of the most profound, abstract ways we've ever experienced. Like the closest thing we have to like a kind of telepathy, and we use it. You know what do we use it for? Like it's like the ways we use it
to post to have meme arguments to buy Felicia.
Oh, God.
It's like, come on, man. Like,
no, I'm not above it. No.
I'm not so above it. I'm not. But I don't. But it's the amount. That's all I'm saying. That's what I said. It's like the amount of time we spend only on one side or the other. It's just like God damn, bro. Like we got to a point.
And so on that exact note, so there's one thing that I want to close the show with, and it's you don't even need to see the tweet, though I will probably send it to you on text throughout this week, just so that you can be reminded of it. So. This dude, and I'm going to make sure I pull up the tweet because I need to include his Twitter handle and how I describe this because it's relevant. So this dude whose Twitter user handle is The Finesser, he tweeted the video of, I'll just read the caption. So yesterday, my wife delivered our fifth child in the passenger seat of our car. Still shook! Exclamation point. And the video is his wife kind of like straddled over the passenger seat. So she's like, she's facing the other way from the windshield and kind of like crouching. She's bent and the baby's coming out. And you don't see the actual moment the baby comes out, but you do see the moment when the baby comes out. You know what I'm saying? And the thing that he thought to do in that moment as he's driving, because the car is in motion, right? So he's driving. He's got his phone out because he's got to put it on Twitter, obviously.
Got to tweet this.
He's the Finesser, and his actual name is Young Flymouth OG. Young Flymouth OG, the Finesser, was able to witness the birth of his fifth child, and so were 7 million other people who watched this video. I just wanted to leave you with that thought.
I saw some of it. I saw it without sound. Yeah, I saw that without sound. And it's just like one of those things where I was like, I don't know which is going to lead that I want to go. Like, it's either going to be me watching a baby be born. I've done it. I'm good.
No, a stranger's baby. Remember, a stranger's baby.
Another. So I was like, yeah, I'm good on that. Or it's going to be what you described, which is just like, and I didn't even take any of that into account. Simply because. The fact is, it's like, oh, yeah, it's Twitter. People, like, I didn't even think for a second that, like, hold on. He's driving a car, filming something.
Yes.
And his wife is giving birth. That I didn't even think about that because in the Twitter world, that all those things.
And at the end of the video, you can see, one of his younger existing children who is in the world and gets to have this dad is in the back seat. And she's kind of looking up like, are we doing this? Like, she looks up at the camera like in a real, like, Jim from The Office moment. Like, wait, word? Like, I'm like, sorry, Dad, I need to break the fourth wall because word? Like, isn't that my sibling that you're filming right now? Not sure. Not sure that this should happen. And on that note, we actually had a cool little hour. I feel like it's a great time to cap the podcast on that.
Yeah, this is a nice light one. Shout out to Neil. Shout out to Chris Crack. Shout out to Ugly Boy Modeling. Shout out to Quelle Chris. Shout out to Denmark Vessi. Shout out to Cav.
Shout out to all the family.
Vic Spencer. Shout out to our people.
This has been the Neil Riggers Podcast. I'm Drew Brees.
I'm on.
Yeah, check us out.
On Wise Ball Meeks, whatever. I'm a dad who's not doing
all right, bro. I'll send you the link when it's up. Peace.